Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts. By my co-hosts, the Blurred Girl Kara Mahorn and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Hi, I'm definitely in the room with you.
I actually am a co-host.
I thought he said co-horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a co-hearse. I've been sick for like a week. I feel like I could be in a hearse.
Me too. And I also know Sharon Martinetti, our Fangirls managing editor, is we're all getting our con crud out of the way before New York Comic Con.
Yeah, my
I said
voice
this too. Better be true. That better work.
We're going to be fantastic by this time next week.
Yeah, I truly need.
And laughing at all the people who are.
All right, are sick, right? Insert evil laugh here.
Yeah, I can't do it yet.
Mine is an evil laugh.
My whole body's still messed up. If I try to do a maniacal laugh, it would turn into a maniacal cough.
Just laugh the way you normally do because you're so maniacal that it'll just register. Don't worry about it. Now the joke is gone.
Yeah.
Moon is gone.
That's funny. Anyway, jokes.
See?
So there's some stuff. There's some stuff that we can that we're going to talk about. There's some Birds of Prey stuff. There's a whole bunch of trailers that drop. But we're going to talk about New York Comic Con a little bit because there's so much going on. And that's exciting. But first, you know, we do this thing at the top of the program. We've been doing it for a little while where we talk about things that we're personally, you know, geeking out about. I think it's a pretty good idea. It hasn't really stuck yet though. 140 some odd episodes, but Adam, do you think we should keep going?
I'm thrilled.
All right. Thrill me, as they say in Night of the Creeps. Adam, what are you geeking out about?
Man, I have something I'm excited to talk about today.
I'm ready.
Which is the best science fiction movie that I've seen in months. Which is the music video for the song Oh Baby by the band LCD Sound System, directed by Rian Johnson, which was just released this week. Wide. It came out last week, I think, on Tidal only, and this week it was released on YouTube. You know, it's 5 minutes and 40 seconds, which I think is the length of the song in total. It stars David Strathairn and Sissy Spacek, which is a amazing pedigree for a music video, and it's basically a short 5 minute and 40 second science fiction film that is really beautifully shot and moving and profound, and I just watched it and I'm like, man, that's really cool. And you know, there's also this Jedi who lives by himself and then he doesn't go save the universe and everybody gets really upset because it's Rian Johnson and he ruined your life. But no, like seriously, like Rian Johnson, man, whatever you think of The Last Jedi, the guy knows how to direct a movie and tell a story visually really, really well. Again, you know, you only have 5 minutes and 40 seconds to tell the story. It's I don't want to spoil things in a major way, but it's about this older couple who are scientists and they make a discovery and what that leads to. And I also, you know, anyone who has been listening to this for a while, and or who knows me personally, knows that I am a giant music fanatic and LCD Sound System is one of my favorite bands. And I really love the song as well. It's a very trippy kind of almost sci-fi love song on its own, in its own right, because it's very synth infused and everything. But just really, really cool. I mean, it's 5 minutes and 40 seconds of your life. If you like, you know, contemplative science fiction, I would check it out. And again, you got David Strathairn and Sissy Spacek, which is amazing. And they do their entire performance without any spoken dialogue because it's a music video and just sell the hell out of it. So I don't know, you know, little things like that. Just,
that's a hell of a cast for a music video.
I know.
That just hits me like, wait, sissy. And I heard about it and people were talking about it. And at first I thought, was there a movie I missed or whatever? Because that was the way people were talking about it.
I mean, I want to see at least the half hour anthology sci-fi series version of this story that they set up because it's really, really cool. But I will settle for the 5 minute and 40 second version. And, I don't know. I get excited about stuff like that because it's like, you know, it's not, I mean, obviously LCD Sound System is a big band. For those who haven't heard of them, they were incredibly large in the like New York indie rock explosion of the early 2000s. And
but then, you know, they got like they got healthy. They started jogging, watched what they ate, and they lost. And then they became much smaller.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But well, they went away. They retired at the peak of their powers, some would say, for about 5 years and then unretired in the past couple years. And Oh Baby is on their most recent album, American Dream. And it's a beautiful song. And yeah, it's just, again, it was just, there are so many ways making a music video for that song could have been banal and really just kind of trite. And instead, we got this beautiful little sci-fi short directed by, again, a guy who, whatever you think of the storytelling decisions that were made in The Last Jedi, like, knows how to shoot a film and make it look good and make it and tell a story. And again, he does it without any words. And that's amazing. So, yeah, check that out if you have almost 6 minutes of free time. And let me know what you think, because, you know, I'm always looking to discuss musical things with other musical people.
Hey, I mean, this podcast has gone for 6 minutes so far. So from my estimation, if you're listening to this podcast still, then you could also, you get the time for this, you get the time for LCD Sound System.
There you go.
That's my position. All right. Yeah, I'm moved. I'm moved to check it out when this is over. Karima, what's winning your week?
Actually, the Marvel's Long Night podcast, Wolverine, the Long Night podcast. I was not expecting to like this. Actually, I think it was Jackie Jennings of Sci-Fi Wire who suggested, like, oh, it was on, you could only get it through Stitcher Premium a few months ago. It just dropped. It's all the episodes are coming out weekly for free. But because I'm impatient and binge watch a ton of stuff, Stitcher got me. I upgraded to premium so I could get all 10 episodes at once. It stars Richard Armitage as Wolverine. And if you guys remember The Hobbit, he starred in The Hobbit. And but he's actually not the star. It does star him as Wolverine, but it's actually Wolverine is tangentially part of the story because it's really a story about that really takes place now. It's really funny. I was trying to figure out where it took place. This isn't spoiling it. It really kind of takes place after Wolverine escapes from Weapon X, but before he becomes an X-Man. So sort of like when you hear him talk about in the comics, you know, I have very little memory of things that happened to me, or and I would wake up places and not know where I was. This is sort of, the Long Night is sort of one of those towns he wakes up where he doesn't know where he is and what happens. And it is amazingly done.
Does it turn out that it's the North Pole and it's actually Santa's village?
Close. He's in Alaska. Ah. But I was waiting for some type of like...
That's the story I want to see. Wolverine in Santa's village.
In Santa's village. Yeah. Taking out elves.
Wolverine saves Christmas.
Bob Balaban is in it. Brian Stokes Mitchell is in it. Otto Asando, Scott Addis, Andrew Keenan Bolger, like Zoe Chow. It's a... not just a diverse cast, but they're all very good actors in their own right. And it makes this, the quality also, like if the sound designer doesn't win something for this thing, because they did an amazing, amazing job. But yeah, like everything stopped in my house for 10 hours while we listened to this because it was really, really good, really, really fun. And the end has an amazing twist that I wasn't ready for. Does it have its ups and downs? Absolutely. I feel like any other outside Marvel thing, like Netflix. Like, I think there might be two episodes where it's like, okay, you know, those weren't the best. But I would say at least 8 of them are really, really good. And the ending, like I said, is not to be missed. So if you can, check out the Long Night, Marvel's Long Night podcast. I'm sorry, Marvel's Wolverine, The Long Night. It's a scripted podcast. And you can listen to it weekly for free on Stitcher, or do what I did, upgrade for premium and get the whole thing at once. But you won't be sorry. It's great.
I always want to check out anything Bob Balaban is in, just because I like saying Bob Balaban.
And his character is...
Ooh, Bob Balaban?
Yeah, Bob Balaban's character is really good. And I, in fact, it took me a minute to, I had to look it up to find out who it was. He changes
and
his
you
voice.
You discovered it was Bob Balaban.
Bob Balaban, yes. Right.
Danny, what about Bob Balaban do you like?
You know, I'm actually more of a Bob Loblaw fan.
Oh, he's fictional. That doesn't count.
Oh, all right. I mean, Bob I don't Balaban actually like him. He's actually a terrible Balaban. Person and also is portrayed by a terrible person. But, you know, I mean, I just like saying Bob Loblaw.
And Adam likes saying Bob Balaban. So.
That's right.
See, and that is what connects us. It's the Bob factor.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of that segment.
I want to know what you're geeking out about that has Bob Balaban in it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, what I'm geeking out about, you know, Bob Balaban could get into it at any time. He's certainly welcome to.
Okay.
Are we all aware of, like, if I said Peachette, would that mean anything to you?
No. Does it involve Bob Balaban?
It could. Again, I mean, like, I don't think all it right. does yet, but at any okay. time, Bob Balaban, right? He could pop in at any moment. He could just be like, here I am. You know, he could, like,
if
bust
Bob
through the
Balaban
door.
Played Nightcrawler, you would say he Bob Balabamfed into what you're talking about.
The tags for this podcast are going to yes. make it to Bob Balaban's
Bob
desk.
Balaban.
He's going to be like, who are these people talking about me?
That was gold. All right, go. Danny, sorry.
he's a regular listener. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, all right. So last week,
him
Nintendo announced they were going to re-release New Super Mario Bros. U on the Nintendo Switch because, you know, like, nobody bought the Wii U. Mm-hmm. And they were like,
oh, I know where you're going.
But we'll add something. Okay. We'll add something to it. So they added a character, and that character is Toadette, who has appeared in a couple of games. And they gave her a power-up, a special power-up. And it is the Mushroom Crown. And the Mushroom Crown turns Toadette into Peachette, which has raised a lot of questions, which primarily being like, so like, is Peach like in a perma? She's like, it's like she had the Mario mushroom and she's always a Mario mushroom mode. And that's what she looks like. But if she ever got like hit, she would turn into a little toad again. Like, is that are those her two forms? That was like the primary question. That was last week. And then this week, people started saying, like, well, what if somebody else got the crown? And lo and behold, as a result, Bowsette was born first.
Bowsette was born, yes.
So, like, that's Bowser with the crown. And then other people were like, what about Boo? And they're like, all right, here's Boozette. And I was like, this is amazing. And there's all this, like, hilarious fan art.
The fan
of,
art
like,
that is running around. And amazing artists jumped in on this. Like, I've seen some amazing Bowsette renders.
Yeah, but mostly it's just like, you know, like, Mario, you know, this Peach doesn't want either of us. Like, I could be beautiful for you. Like, let's run off together. And I was like, I'll read every fan fiction about this. Although I will say there already is great fan fiction about Luigi and Bowser going off together. Like, really quality stuff. Just, you know, just putting it out there. Anyway, I just like the idea. I was like Bowsette, Boozette, and then I made a really bad Photoshop of Cosette from Les Misérables, and I just Photoshopped the crown on her head. I put her in an article that's going to come out later today. Although I guarantee that image will not stay. Features editorial is definitely going to ice that thing. But I tried.
Put it on Twitter.
So if you don't see
Twitter.
It, just know I tried.
Put it on Twitter.
I did put it on Twitter. I'll put it on
so
Twitter.
So you're saying...
I'll retweet myself, as all the cool kids do.
If we put the crown on Bob Balaban, he'd become Bob Balabet.
I knew he was doing this. I'm looking at him like, no.
Yeah. No, I'm doing it. I went there.
I mean, it's a great team up. Anyway, maybe one of us will get the crown at some point. I hope it's me. Not to be selfish.
I hope it's you too.
Thanks. That means a lot.
I think you deserve it.
Ah. Anyway, all right. So that's like the stuff we were all personally geeking out about. Wow, we did a really great job. Pat yourself on the
good
back.
Good job, us.
Good work.
Yay.
Hey, you want to talk about Birds of Prey for a minute there?
Sure.
So, you know how like DC is like, hey, we're going to make a Birds of Prey movie. And everyone was like, oh, yeah? And they were like, Margot Robbie's going to be Harley Quinn. And people were like, wait, what? And then it was just kind of like that for a little while. And then occasionally they'd be like, oh, you know, like Huntress probably going to be in there. Like Dinah Lance probably going to, maybe Cassandra Cain, Bob Black Mask possibly. Like
Bob Balaban.
Bob Balaban, you know, like heavily rumored to be involved. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So it just kind of sat there for a minute. And then this week they were like, guess what? We cast two people, and then they cast Huntress, and they cast that with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and then they cast Black Canary with Journey Smollett-Bell. So that's exciting.
Very exciting. And also, this is the movie that Margot Robbie is producing, correct?
Maybe.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that, I mean, on top of it,
I don't trust anything, but sure, if you say so.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I got to be honest. I kind of forgot this movie was happening.
So did I.
Because I feel like this side of the DC cinematic universe is so chaotic right now. There's I don't know how many Joker movies in production.
There's, 15.
Yeah,
last
at
count.
Least. There's a Joker and Harley Quinn. There's this Suicide Squad 2. I don't know what the heck's going on. So when they announced this, I was like, oh.
And Margot Robbie's in three of these.
Right. And I knew, I guess somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew it was there, but it's just, like you said, it's been so long since we'd heard anything. I kind of just assumed it was languishing a little bit, but I guess it's moving forward. We have faces.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, I stopped watching True Blood, which is the thing that Journey is from primarily, and she's got a Lovecraft thing coming out, but real excited about Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I am.
Is that how you pronounce her name? I thought it was Winstead.
Oh, have I been saying it wrong the whole time?
Let's call her.
I believe so.
All right, whatever.
I'm excited about Journey Smollett-Bell also because I haven't seen her since Underground, and I've been watching her since she was a child actress. So I just think this is amazing. But there was tons of people that I had to explain. No. Black Canary is actually the character's name. They didn't do that on purpose. Calm down.
Is the character a person of color in the comics?
No, but people were reacting to a black
woman.
No,
I know, but I'm saying, was there? Yeah. I have to admit, I didn't keep track of the conversation around this because I'm not a huge comics fan of mm-hmm. Birds of Prey. Were people positively or negatively reacting to the swap?
Yeah.
As usual,
exactly. Okay. Day that ends in Y in comics on social media. But I'm excited about both Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Journey Smollett-Bell because I think I just think it's if Margot Robbie's actually producing and I heard Kathy Yan is directing, if all of this is actually true, this might be kind of like Wonder Woman, the best of the bunch of the next DC rounds of movies.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's exciting that this and Supergirl are happening. Like, you know, that seems to be, I mean, it feels like this getting cast and them talking about Supergirl a lot does kind of make them seem like they thought, well, people liked Wonder Woman. And you know what? I did like Wonder Woman. And then they were like, maybe we should make more women movies. And you know what? I feel great about that, too. So, you know, I don't know what the quality is going to be, but I like the direction so far. Feeling pretty good about that.
I think the quality is going to be fine. And I also like the fact that there aren't not just, it's not jumping on the bandwagon of like, oh, women like to do see movies too. Let's make one. I like the fact they're also putting women behind the camera as well. So that I think excites me. And I don't know. It's funny. Gail Simone, who had a long run on Birds of Prey, was online like really, really excited about this. I wish she had something to do with the writing also, but she's got a lot going on right now. She's like running Line Forge and doing a bunch of other things. But I'm excited. Again, not going to judge until at least see costumes.
Let me ask. You guys are both more up on the comic side than I am. Is there a Birds of Prey storyline or some such that you would like to see in this movie? Or something, some element from the comics that you're like, ooh, I really hope that's in there.
I mean, I would say if they go back and do if they do the first Gail Simone Birds of Prey run, the original, I would say that has got some good. The only problem is that, like, you know, this is a Cassie Kane thing. So it's going to, I mean, regardless, it's going to be different. I mean, like, I don't think there's anything that's quite going to match up with the fact that it's going to be Harley Quinn and Renee Montoya and this particular iteration, supposedly a Batgirl. So we'll see. I mean, like, yeah, like, I mean, it's kind of hard to sort of point to a comic book run that would match up with what they want to do here. I think ultimately it's going to have to be its own beast. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm into the you know, like, some people are not into the Cassie Kane thing, but, like, I mean, you know, I'm down. And, like, boy, I really can't wait for them to confirm who's playing Renee Montoya. That's, like, Renee Montoya in a movie, because Renee Montoya has not been in a live action thing since the first season of Gotham. And that is not a thing that I like to think about, because it was not a good version. Not very well executed.
No, I agree. And I, but the one thing that I don't want to see, if you know, if they have Barbara Gordon and everything in here, I want her, if she's going to be Oracle, I want her already in the wheelchair. I don't want a Joker tie in as to how he shoots her and hurts her and everything. Like, the backstory thing, and again, another Joker tie in. I'm like, we get it. Y'all like Joker. Let's start with her as Oracle.
Yeah, they could just skip it. They don't need to do a flashback. Like, you can just take on faith, be like, yep, she got shot. That's,
but can I tell you?
You could even literally just not say it. She could just be.
I hope they show Batman's parents being killed.
Wait, again.
Because you need that in every movie on this side of the DC universe.
You guys are Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans.
Absolutely.
Stephanie Beatriz.
I was going to ask how old this Renee Montoya character is, because I was like, there you go. Put her in
age.
It.
I want her to be Renee Montoya. I think she'd be perfect.
She's not in the running, though, as far as I know.
Damn it,
it's
Jim.
Justina Mikado and Roberta Calandras, I believe, is Susan.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a podcaster, not a casting director. Well,
anyway,
we can only dream.
Sorry about it. Yeah, I mean, you know. But Ewan McGregor might be Black Mask.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I like Ewan McGregor. I'm a fan of his.
No, I do. I just, you know what it is? And again, because my only reference is the comics, I'm just... I couldn't see half the cast of Doom Patrol as the characters they're playing now, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Or maybe Bob Balaban could play him.
Bob Balaban. Yeah, you could have that. Anyway, let's break into the FBI. hey, a lot of trailers dropped, but this is like a weird week. What a strange week. So, like, four.
It's the pre-New York Comic Con week where people like want to give you teasers,
wait,
but don't want to give you everything.
Trailers?
Yeah, technically, I mean, like, you got your
Bumblebee.
You got your Fantastic Beasts there.
Yes.
You got your
your
Daredevils and your
I didn't see the Daredevil.
Your Daredevil teaser, yeah.
And your dark Phoenix is there.
One question about Daredevil: was anybody else, like, the two teasers that they've shown? I feel like they keep showing him with his bloody nose, and it looks like ketchup. I'm like, what happened?
He was at a diner. He's trying to eat
sometimes.
It was a hamburger, but, like, it was like one of those pizza burgers, but he still put ketchup on it, and that's, you know.
I end up with barbecue sauce, like, on the side of my face sometimes, and my wife is like, how did that get there? And I have no idea.
No idea.
But, so I get it. Matt Murdoch, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and Adam's got the use of his eyes, and it still happens. So, you know,
didn't really show much. They did show that. Okay, full disclosure: I've seen the first episode, but they didn't show much from it. I will say that this teaser is literally, I guess, supposed to give you a feel of the season. And you see Fisk in a amazing, pristine suit, though.
White,
like,
suit.
Who is his
classic
tailor? Yeah,
comic
classic
book white. Yep. Kingpin suit.
Yep. And we see Matt burning his suit and going back to the black, like, scarf over his head like he had before. So I feel like, remember the end of last season how Punisher was like, you're one bad day away from being me?
Yeah.
I feel like this season is supposed to be that bad day.
Interesting.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, yeah, we really don't know anything. I'm like, I should probably watch some of that season. I think I have access to it. But yeah, like, it's good. I think it's good for them to not. I don't think they need
dark
to show a lot. Like, you know, Daredevil is Daredevil. It's like the one Marvel Netflix show that, you know, people are almost certainly going to check out. So
if it's back to this whole Wilson Fisk, Matt Murdock dynamic, I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
Spare me from any more ninjas. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's sort of like, you know, the dial to the basics kind of thing, yeah, to a degree. So yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I think that they don't need to show anything in a trailer, because why would, yeah, you? Like, why would you show anything other than here's Daredevil, Kingpin's in a white suit, got him. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, why, if, like, as from a marketing perspective, I don't think you need to do any, like, it's not, I have not a lot of heavy lifting required.
No, also, I think because Vincent D'Onofrio's character, like, his, just who he is so amazing. And yeah, there's some, I'm looking forward to it again. It's, I don't want to call it a trailer. I'm going to say it's a teaser, because,
yeah,
I just didn't,
much,
there's really not that much that they gave us.
Right.
And literally after seeing the first episode, I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm not going to give any of that away. But, oh, you know what I meant to say before we got off the Birds of Prey topic, is that the co-writer of Birds of Prey is the same screenwriter for Bumblebee, which also dropped this week.
Oh, yeah, Bumblebee looks good.
Bumblebee looks amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about Bumblebee.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, is this the one that struck your fancy, Adam?
I mean, of the three cinematic trailers that we're talking about, yes, this is, that I am saying that about a Transformers film,
exactly,
boggles my mind, because to be honest, I really have not enjoyed this franchise from the start.
Nope. It, you know what? I'm going to do like that gif of Mariah Carey. We don't know her. Okay. So the rest of the other,
yeah,
stuff didn't happen. And this is what happened.
It's weird, man. But
forward,
like, no, and it just feels like, I love the direction they're taking with the story, you know, of, mm-hmm, this almost E.T. vibe of Haley. I want to say Haley Joel Steinfeld, but that's not her name. Haley Steinfeld. You know, finding Bumblebee and he can't speak, and they're kind of going through this whole thing. And I mean, the biggest thing that everybody, especially old people like myself, freaked out about with this trailer.
I'm in there too. I'm sorry, because I used to steal the toys from my brothers.
Yeah, was some of the imagery of the Cybertron stuff especially was straight out of G1.
It was. And their suits were on point. And I know we try, yeah, not to complain. I mean, compare a lot of stuff to, like, comics, but I am going to compare them to the toys. I shrieked. And then when I saw those triple changers, I was like,
yeah,
what? What? Although I did get confused, because I did think one of the triple changers was Starscream. And
too,
I was,
yeah,
on Twitter like, I'm confused. What just happened? That's, yeah, not Starscream. And it wasn't. It was Blitzwing. Blitzwing, yeah.
But Starscream is also in that trailer, though.
Like, yes.
I like, imagine that. Like, I was
Shockwave.
Yeah, that's
Soundwave.
That's the giant.
And Ravage, yes.
I was like, my inner child, yes, like, squeed uncontrollably. And the funny thing was, I was talking to a friend of mine, Brian Enk, who is our assignment editor here at Sci-Fi Wire, and we came to the conclusion that's probably 2 minutes of the film. The,
yeah,
Cybertron,
no,
stuff.
Yeah, we said the same thing. Like, I said the same thing, like, oh my God, we're geeking out, and it's not going to be this.
It's going to be like
minor
segment.
Of teen girl angst, and the rest is,
which is fine. No, and I love teen girl angst with robots too, but like, it's just, even throwing that in there, I think, just got fans, longtime Transformers fans, so jazzed for this for this movie in a way
there
that they haven't been for a movie in this franchise in a long time.
Yeah, like, I'm actually going to be excited to you know, like, see, like, Optimus for a second. And, like, you know, like, when I was a kid, like, you know, you'd hear him say, like, the name of the other Transformers, it would be exciting. Like,
yeah,
and the Transformers,
yeah,
Michael Bay movies, the Bayformers, like, I'm like, yeah, but none of these, like, seem like those characters. But now, like, you know, like, I saw him, like, Optimus looking like Optimus. And, like,
yeah,
and there's Bumblebee looking
and
like Bumblebee,
like,
and
Optimus.
Frank Welker's voice being like, Bumblebee. And you're like, yeah, like,
I'm so happy that Frank is still around.
That's Peter Cullen, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
Peter
Cullen.
Three of me. Frank Welker is
I'm so
is
happy
Fred.
That Peter Cullen is still around to do it. And but that was what was missing, what you just said. Megatron. There was no Megatron in this trailer.
Which is fine. We
no,
don't
it is
need,
fine.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
You don't need, and
he's supposed to be trapped under ice right now.
Yeah.
If it's 1990, whatever.
Yeah, it can
and
be.
It can be
Starscream. Starscream can be like the kid and the king of the Decepticons or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah. And I love some of the action they showed. Like, it was just, you know, the characteristic of the Michael Bay Transformers movies is this frenetic, quick cutting action that you that leaves you unable to tell what's going on a lot of the time. It's just you hear things clanking, you see things flying, and that's all you can pay attention to for 2 seconds, and then it's gone.
Yeah, I felt like I understood the basic visual narrative within the trailer.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, very much. Very much. It's Travis Knight directing this, right? And I mean, that's what, like, the comments I was seeing on the YouTube version of the trailer were like, oh man, this movie finally gets what Transformers fans love. So I honestly, I'm, first of all, this is the first Transformers movie I'm actually interested in, and I would say almost excited to see quite some time.
I know.
And
be careful what you wish for.
I know.
Careful.
I don't want to get too excited.
We get hurt. We're once bitten, twice shy.
No, because my take going into, I love giant robots a lot. Mm-hmm. And so my take going into the first Transformers was like, listen, I know it's Michael Bay. It's going to be dumb, but as long as there's giant robots fighting, I'll be happy. And even still, I wasn't happy. So, like, I don't want to get my hopes up too much here because we're still in the Bayverse Transformers-wise. But it's just, it really seems like by dialing it back to a smaller scale, they've hit on something that I think is going to resonate. And, like, again, they just, by showing that G1 stuff, all your old school Transformers fans are on board. All the fans of the original, they movies are probably on board already just because they love the Transformers franchise. So I think the movie's going to do really well. I mean, the big question will be, you know, to put the cart ahead of the horse a little bit is, if this movie succeeds, what do they do next?
Because if they try a series, I really do.
But if they try immediately to go back to this larger scale team of Transformers, bigger thing that they did, they're going away from the thing that made the Bumblebee, what they would ostensibly make Bumblebee work.
Yeah.
So
I think,
you know,
it's really funny because one of the things I did after I saw the trailer was, of course, I jumped onto YouTube and nostalgically looked up the Transformers movie and a couple of Transformers episodes because I was like, I do think these look like Gen 1.
Yeah.
Like, out, you know.
Shockwave was the one. I saw Shockwave and I was just like,
ah! When Rampage, yes. When Rampage,
Ravage.
I'm sorry, I'm saying Rampage and I mean Ravage. Sorry. The one that turns into a cat, I'm sorry. Ravage. Because when Ravage jumped out of Soundwave, yes. Sorry, Chess. The reason why I'm like tripping over my speech here is because, well, I don't think my brothers are going to listen. But if they do, sorry, guys. I was the one who broke the Ravage growing up. So that was where I was shrieking because that is the toy that, and there's this epic, this is a whole side story, but there was an epic fight in my house because my brothers, they're twins, and I'm the only girl and the oldest. So I delighted in watching them fight amongst themselves. So they thought the other one broke it, and I never copped to it until this very day.
Oh my God.
Wow, so, it's like a huge confessional episode
it is.
Who won the week.
So Danny, we have to start thinking of how we're going to replace Caramel
when they find
in future
out.
Episodes of the podcast.
That's terrible. That's not good. Yeah. That's not good optics, friend.
Well, when this movie comes out, if they have new toys or replica toys, I promise I will buy two, one for each of them. But yeah, I was so excited by that character that I kind of shrieked, which is why I'm tripping over my speech this morning.
So Danny, we've rambled. What do you think? What did you think about it?
It was good.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like it's all been said. Like, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I got to wait in. I'm like, yeah, like Starscream. I saw that. I was like, this looks exciting. Bumblebee looks good. Everything. Yeah, it looks like everything old is new again. Kind of feeling good about it.
And I'll also say, just as a final thing, this is the first, or at least based on the trailers, that's making me buy into the new version of Bumblebee as this like plucky hero. Cause Bumblebee in the cartoons was so doofy.
Yeah.
And, you know, weak, just generally speaking. And now we have a Bumblebee who's kind of badass a little bit, you know? And
yeah. I mean, I'm into it. It's cool.
Yeah. Which is cool. I'm down.
Yeah.
Somebody told me Angela Bassett's in this movie. Do you guys know which character she's playing?
I don't. What?
Yeah.
Angela Bassett is one of the
I heard John Cena was in the movie, but I can't see him.
Oh, yeah.
No, literally, Angela Bassett is one of the Transformers. She's the voice of one of the Transformers. But I'm going to, while you guys are going on to the next thing, I'm going to look this up.
I think it's a Transformer that transforms into Angela Bassett.
She's Shatter. I answered it. That's cracked it.
She's Shatter? Really?
Shatter. That's who.
Oh.
All right.
Anyway, so that was the good one. And then there were the other ones. I mean, are there other ones you felt good about?
Well, I mean, I'm not. Here's the thing. I'm not a Potterhead. What I will say about the Fantastic Beasts trailer is that from my standpoint, like I've seen all the Harry Potter movies and read all of the original set of books. I didn't get into the Fantastic. I keep calling it Fantastic Beasts. I'm sorry. I'm tired. So Fantastic Beasts.
But if I was a Harry Potter MC,
yes, like you could be Fantastic Beasts.
I would do Fantastic Beasts. That would be the name of my album.
That should be
Fantastic Beasts and Where
by Dre. Fantastic
that
Beats
needs to
by
be
Dre.
Your, if you were to DJ a
Harry Potter
head Potter,
party.
Yeah, it
Fantastic
should be
Fantastic Beasts and
where to find them. Exactly.
Nobody steal that, please.
So I'm not up on that. So I tried to look at the trailer just as an observer, you know, and I think the effects are amazing. I think everybody looks incredible. And I believe Johnny Depp is a baddie. And that's really it. I mean, I really do think, though, I don't know how well the storyline is going to go, because a lot of people had that question with the first movie. But this physically looks gorgeous.
Here's my thing. I think you're right. It does look good. So there's two big topics that are around this that I've seen. One is the actual talking about the movie, and then there's a meta narrative that I'm assuming we're going to want to get into in a second based on some of the things we saw in the trailer and what mm-hmm. they mean for the larger conversation. But I think the movie will look good. I think it'll be competent, and I think they should hire a new director for these movies yesterday. David Yates has done a good job, but he's been making Harry Potter movies for 11 years.
Yeah, and it's starting to feel like it.
It feels tired to me. It feels like we need...
You can't tell the
Alfonso,
difference.
When the first two movies were Christopher Columbus and when Alfonso Cuarón came on, it was this breath of fresh air because here was a new perspective and a new cinematic eye, you know, telling this story. And God, do I feel like these movies need that. And it's no slight to David Yates, who I think has done a very competent job, you know, helming this franchise, but just for the good of more of a fresh storytelling perspective, I would love to see someone else get a shot. Really. I don't know who. I don't have names off the top of my head, but just like something to goose this franchise a little bit from a visual and filmmaking standpoint, I would love to see. So that was that. That was my, I mean, listen, like, and I think it looks great. I don't know the story. I don't love prequels, and it feels like they're shoehorning all of this into a Fantastic Beasts title that has nothing to do with Fantastic Beasts other than that Eddie Redmayne is in it. But I don't know. I mean, jury's out for me. I'll definitely go see it. I'm a Potter fan. I wouldn't say I'm a Potter head.
But, yeah, and I'm not ignoring the controversies surrounding a lot of
things. Well, that's what I didn't know if we wanted to get into that.
I mean, we can talk
separately.
About that a little, but I just wanted to say, like, if you don't look at that, I will say this, all of his stuff has the same color and perspective, mm-hmm. so it is hard to tell the movies apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to ask me, like, this is a scene from the first Fantastic Beasts, and this is from the second, I couldn't tell
you. Right. Danny, what did you think of it overall?
I think they cast a Korean actress to turn into a snake permanently and
there we go.
And be Voldemort's slave.
Weapon.
Yeah, so there's the big controversy that has erupted around this trailer, interestingly.
Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be more positive on the podcast, but looks bad. That's not a, you know what I mean? Like,
so for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, I can't remember the name of the actress. Could you remember the name of the actress?
It's Claudia Kim.
Claudia Kim.
Thank you. Claudia Kim appears in the trailer and you see her and people are like, Nagini. And then she transforms into the giant snake by the same, who we know by the same name from the original Potter movies. Right.
Who basically is Voldemort's
corpse.
Wow,
does that open a whole can of worms.
Yeah, and it also, besides the visual implications, she becomes clearly, since this is a prequel, Voldemort's Horcrux, which means she's his slave.
Yeah, and gets her head chopped off by Neville Longbottom, right?
Yeah, it's man. Just, I mean, like, I just, you know, everything about it is not really ideal. So, yeah, that came out, and I just, you know, I don't... And then someone, as happens, was like, hey, J.K. Rowling, this is kind of messed up. And then she was like,
well,
no, it's not. Look at how it's okay. Here's my explanation. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for reading, snake emoji, hashtag.
Yeah, and that was what was sad. That was what was sad about it, because on top of everything else, and it's weird because J.K. is usually better at this, but I think just this week and this week is fired anyway, but... Just the fact that the way she handled it seemed so tone deaf was weird to me.
Has anyone talked to Claudia Kim about it? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't see her on social. I mean, like, look, she's keeping it pause, but like, you know, it's because I mean, she kind of has to.
Do you know that?
I mean,
we can draw that conclusion in general, but
I haven't
like,
seen anything on social.
But maybe she really is pause. We don't know. It's hard. I'm not advocating for one side.
I believe
or the other.
That
I'm
she has said something. Yeah.
I'm just hesitant to ascribe motivations to her that I don't know.
I mean, look, here's what she said. She said, you've only seen her as a Horcrux. In this, she's a wonderful and vulnerable woman who wants to live. She wants to stay a human being, and I think that's a wonderful contrast to the character. That's it. That is the quote. And to me, you know, again, I can't assign a definite emotion, but it sounds to me like she said, can you just tell me what to say about this? And then they gave her some stuff to say, and she said it.
It's a complicated thing because God knows if someone was like, come be in a Harry Potter movie, you know, for lots of money and a big boost to your career. It's a hard thing to turn down regardless of some of the options.
Well, I mean, like, this is the question, right? Like where in the process, if at all, did someone go, and then, you know, if somebody did say, did they have a conversation about it? We're probably not going to find out.
And the larger context here, too, being that this franchise as a whole has a bit of a diversity issue.
Yes.
From the beginning.
Yeah, it does. And in the past, here's the thing that why I was so surprised by Rowling's reaction, because this has happened before, this knee-jerk sort of diversity. Like, okay, you're there. We're getting yelled at because we're not more diverse. So this is what we do. Just find me an Asian, find me a black woman, and get them in there. Make sure they're both women and make sure they're, you know, they get to share screen time and make sure, like, and I'm not saying that that's the conversation that they had. I've been in rooms with similar conversations about completely different things. But if there's no, that's the difference between, and this is what I mean, what people say, there's no diversity in the writer's room. If there was somebody who was Korean American or maybe Asian, not necessarily Korean, but of Asian descent, that was in the room with them, that could have said, hey, you know what? That might be a bad idea.
But how do we know there wasn't?
We don't know. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of possibilities that there could have been a sensitivity reader, and that sensitivity reader might have been like, I don't know about this. And they were like, it'll be fine.
That's my problem. That's my problem. An entire franchise shouldn't be on top of a sensitivity reader.
Oh, no, I agree. As you know, my concern about that stuff is...
And I'm not saying that there is or there isn't. I'm just saying that in general, we have a lot of these things happen because I don't think there is more than one person having these conversations. Not everybody, maybe they had somebody Japanese in the room and they didn't have a problem with it. Maybe, you know what I mean? Or maybe there's somebody Chinese and that was younger as opposed to the Korean and older that could say, hey, that's not a problem. So I just think that I'm hoping they're learning from this mistake, among other ones, but we don't know. I think it's too much to put on the actress to make her say, yeah, they cast me and I did it and I hate it. Why would she say that?
Oh, yeah, I would never expect her to do that. No, yeah. I don't think so. But if it was me, you know, this is the thing. I put myself in her shoes and I think, like, if there was a controversy around a character that I played and I was in that spot, I would be like, look, I don't feel great about this. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Can y'all just, like, tell me what you want me to say and I'll say it? Let's just get through it. That would be me. You know what I mean? Like, I would not be looking to mess that up.
Now, on the flip side of that, in this world of social media and hot takes, it's entirely possible that they knew exactly what they're doing. Because good attention, bad attention, it's all attention.
Maybe.
This was trending because of the negative discussions.
Well, and let me put this out there, and I don't know this with this particular issue, but there is rarely a monolithic reaction even within individual groups to certain depictions. There mm-hmm. are probably Asian people out there who are like, oh, she's a snake in the movie, great, whatever, I don't care, you know. And yeah. that's why I'm saying generational, it's weird because it's like it's all about individual perception of certain things. And we tend to, I think, when a topic trends and there's a certain amount of groundswell behind saying, well, that looks a certain way, or, you know, people should feel a certain way about that, to say, like, that is the absolute answer about how people should feel about this. And I don't know. I don't want to, because I don't, especially as a, you know, person who is not of Asian descent, who my whiteness is represented everywhere. I don't want to tell anybody how they should react to anything, whether it's positive or negative. So it's weird. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I see and I understand the reasoning behind the objection to it, for sure.
I do too, but I will point out that the two main tweets that went straight to JK that seem to be quoted the most don't have Asian people in them. And I'm not saying it's not that this isn't a problem because Asian people weren't quoted. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's about these hot takes and about these getting these quotes to write these articles sometimes. And I think what we're going to have to do, yes, we're going to have to wait and see, but I am personally going to talk to friends of mine who are in the geek space who are of Asian descent to get their opinion. I'm not going to stand up. Does it look good? It does not.
Right.
But I know people who might have seen a preview of the trailer of the movie already. Maybe there's more to it than we know. But that's why, is it a publicity stunt? Either way, I think it's, Danny, I agree with you, it's in bad taste. But like I said, I find Rowling's reaction very strange, because she's usually the first one to jump up and say that, you know, something is wrong or in defense and have a very long discourse. Maybe she's just tired of it. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't think it looks good at all. But then again, I don't want to not see the movie because I want to support Zoe Kravitz too. So.
And I think that there's an element too of the response to it where you can acknowledge that you understand where people are coming from, even if you don't agree with it. Like, there's no need to just completely deflect. You can be like, okay, listen, I understand what you're saying about how this looks, but please bear with us. The character is this, this, and this, you know, like, or something, if it's at all defensible.
I don't think it's defensible, but I do think that, I do think it was a marketing tool. They had to know. I just don't think they didn't know that it would make people talk about it. I don't think it occurred to them.
No.
Either way, like, for instance, if Danny doesn't decide to see the movie, right, and I decide to see the movie, I'm still going to be friends with Danny. Like, there's people that are talking about, like, you know, it, like I said, everything in social media goes from 0 to 100, and then you're, like, deleting people and blocking people. I don't think it has to get to that. I would rather there be a conversation. I'd rather the conversation include people of Korean descent having it, that we can all listen to as to why it is or is not a problem.
I mean, I don't think they knew it was going to be. And I'll tell you why. Like, I will be completely honest. I am a person who tries to be a good ally and stay aware of all of this stuff. And it did not occur to me at all until I started reading people's reactions to it. Like, I was just like, the thing was like, oh, Nagini was a person before it was a snake. That's crazy, you know, but I never. The Asian aspect of it didn't occur to me. And it's not because I didn't want it to.
No, it's just certain tropes that...
And how I'm raised and the environment that I've come up in and the blinders that I have is based on my background, you know. And so I fully believe that nobody walked out of there going, yeah, this is really going to start the hot takes on Twitter. You know, I think they might have been blindsided by it entirely. But then the thing is how you react to it once you receive this new information. You know, that's the thing. Like, when I read that, I wasn't like, oh, that's stupid that people feel that way. It's like, no, okay, let me absorb, you know, this what's out there and see how that informs how I feel about it. And I think that that's the really key part. Charles Xavier makes a compromise. That was a terrible segue. I was trying to come up with
that's
something.
That's okay. I got one for you. It's a terrible segue, but it's a terrible trailer. So
really?
There you go.
Wow. I mean, it's not the worst trailer that I ever did see, but it's also like, I don't know, at this point, it's hard not to look at it and be like, I'm ready for somebody else to take a crack at the old X-Men.
That's exactly... Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, technically, this is someone else taking a crack at the old X-Men.
Not really.
Oh, I thought he said at the effect.
No, sir,
okay,
it
I'm
is
sorry.
Not.
Simon Kinberg is the first time director.
Yeah, but he's been writing them, so.
Sure.
No, I don't think Simon should have directed. But honestly, I don't even know.
Well, so we're talking about Dark Phoenix, first of all.
Yeah,
we should put that out there. We all know what we're talking about, but just about the Dark Phoenix trailer came out this week as well.
And we would like to hear in the comments what you think, but I don't know. Now, again, this one is hard for me. This one is very hard for me because anything X-Men, I always compare to the comics. And so I guess this, if I see this, I'm going to have to throw all that out the window because I don't understand Phoenix's origin story now. Because it looks completely different. Because the Phoenix was always a force, like the symbiote, right. That was attracted to her. Now it seems like they're trying to say that it was what they were
magic
insinuating.
Magic was inside her all along.
Yeah, they're insinuating. She's always been an Omega level mutant, and it is canon that Xavier helped lock part of her consciousness away because she was so powerful. That was, you see the scene of her in the car as a child. But they're also trying to hint at it not attaching to her, but that she's had the Phoenix Force the entire time, which means, okay, it's fine that they're changing her origin story. That's what they're going to do for her, the movie. But I'm just confused, and I guess I'll have to see it when it comes out because I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too. I saw a commentary somewhere else on the web where someone was like, I really wish they'd stop trying to make Mystique an X-Man. You know, because they said they were like, don't rewrite the comics. And I was like, oh, they're not really rewriting the comics. It's just movie Mystique is an X-Man. Comics Mystique is not. That's just the way it is. But like.
And also Jennifer Lawrence is an Oscar, I think, and they want her to have screen time.
I think people were saying, I read some commentary around the trailer before I saw it. So my expectations, I think, were a little lowered. And I didn't mind it so much. I mean, it didn't feel, I didn't walk out of there like, amazing, I can't wait to see that X-Men movie. But you know what trailer did make me feel that way? Apocalypse. When the first Apocalypse trailers came out. Yeah. So I can't really, I don't want to make too much of a judgment off the top of my head. It looks, what's the word? I don't want to, this word sounds derogatory when I say cheaper than the other movies, but like,
nope, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it just looks, it looks a little,
I feel like they skimped on some things. Quality.
Scale, yeah.
Maybe, and I'm not saying smaller story. I don't have a problem with the smaller story. Like, I feel Wolverine didn't have 17,000 sets. It was a smaller, not as many locations and things like that. But it still was a rich story. This,
Yeah. So it's like, I guess the story they're setting up is that the power was, the magic was inside her all along. Charles Xavier did something to suppress it. And now it's coming out.
Yeah, so like the plot of X-Men The Last Stand.
Pretty much exactly that, yeah.
Basically just that movie that nobody liked again. They were like, hey, remember that great Brett Ratner movie? Oh, let's just get the whole gang back together and mess it up again. See you in February, the time that we always put out really successful movies. Like, what a downgrade. Can you believe it's like, hey, 2018 February, Black Panther, 2019... X-Men Dark Phoenix, like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the other thing that was noticeably absent, and I was happy about it after the way they treated her in Apocalypse, was Jubilee, played by Lana Condor.
Who, Lana?
Yeah, exactly. And Lana's in the upcoming Deadly Class coming on Sci-Fi, which is, and she's also was in All the Boys I Loved Before and stuff like that. She's had a great year. And I've always felt it was a travesty because I actually got a chance to interview her before Apocalypse came out, and she had a lot more scenes than were shown. Like, she had no speaking lines in that movie, practically. So it was, I was happy. People were like, oh, where's Jubilee? I'm like, no, that's okay. Let her go. Lana's busy.
I mean, here's the other interesting narrative around this is that theoretically, I guess, this is probably the last X-Men movie not under Kevin Feige's stewardship, right?
I would imagine. The next ones are going to be from him, right?
I mean, that's the New Mutants, which is basically an X-Men movie, you know?
Right, right.
Wait, New Mutants, but New Mutants aren't under Feige. New Mutants?
No,
not.
That's already
what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That is the true last, that's the actual last one, I guess, if you want to be, like, really technical about it.
Yeah, I mean, did it get pushed again, by the way? When is, like, I feel like all of these things should be out by now.
I don't know. I don't know when that's coming out. I'm like kind of floored that this is coming out in February. That is just like, ooh,
so
yikes.
Were there things we liked about it at all? I like Sophie Turner.
I mean, I like Sophie Turner.
I like Sansa. I like Michael Fassbender.
I don't think so.
Michael Fassbender in that helmet, man, he can get it.
He can get it.
Yeah.
He can get the helmet, I guess. Yeah,
he's like, he wears that helmet.
He wears it. Wow, he's wearing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'll watch it. I don't. You know, there are things that I ultimately usually find that I like a little bit about each of them. Like, you know, there are things that I found that I liked about Age of Apocalypse, and that is not a popular film either. But you know, I had a good time in moments. I don't. You know, like
that's going on the poster.
Exactly.
I had a good time in moments.
Yeah, like I had momentary. You know, like same Days of Future Past. There's some. You know. There's some good moments.
Really
there's some good
Days
moments in that
past.
Movie. Some good moments. Some good moments in First Class. I just, you know, I think that it's time to.
Oh, New Mutants is moving. Actually, wow, this just came out today. New Mutants is moving because when you said February, I thought that's when it was moved to. But no, New Mutants originally was supposed to come out February 2019. They've moved it to August. So I get it. Phoenix is moving to February. Mutants is to August, and. Yeah, I agree. That's weird timing.
Yeah, August is also, again, like, that's not a...
Nope.
That's a quiet month. They're just kind of quietly surrendering to the end. You know, like, that's it. They're just saying, like, you know, I'm going to lay in bed. Sweet angel of mercy, come take
exactly.
me away.
I'm going to hold out some optimism for this movie. And I know this is weird because I'm usually negative man, but...
I was going to say, wait.
But no, I
are you
listen,
okay? What's in that scene?
I didn't love Age of Apocalypse, but I didn't despise it, and I actually really enjoyed Days of Future Past. I would say that's a decent to good X-Men movie.
Yeah, I think my only issue
was First Class. Like so,
my only issue with Days of Future Past was giving Kitty what's her name's powers. Giving Jean Grey's daughter was supposed to be the one with those powers. That's the only thing. I was amped to see a new character. And instead of bringing in a new character that I felt would have brought something to the story, they kind of went with an old one, which was fine. But I agree of those two. Days of Future Past, I think I liked better.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I expect there will be a couple things in this movie that I will enjoy, I guess.
But you
I
know,
don't, you know.
Maybe we'll find out more next week at New York Comic Con.
I mean, that's the thing. Looking at the X-Men franchise as a whole cinematically, the only two that I would say I really didn't like Last Stand.
No.
A lot.
Nope.
Really dislike that. I ignore the other Wolverine movies except for Logan.
Again, we don't know her.
But like from the X-Men franchise itself. And Age of Apocalypse. I mean, I liked X-Men. X2 I really like. First Class I enjoyed. And
I couldn't handle
Days
First
of Future
Class.
Past I really dug. So I'm going to be the X-Men optimist here and say this has a chance to be very enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, look, my tragedy on the whole thing is, like, you know, I feel like they should be making more stuff like Logan, and I don't think that Disney Marvel is
going
to ever
like,
do that.
Logan is the only Wolverine movie, like, I really acknowledge, because, I mean, how is...
I didn't hate the Wolverine. There's again, like, a couple good moments in that.
Yeah, but
I mean,
the one
Wolverine
where he,
Origins
the one where
is
he,
just a hot mess.
The girlfriend takes the... The girlfriend pretends to be dead. He can and he didn't know it. I mean, he can smell what people are wearing two towns over, but he couldn't tell that his own girlfriend wasn't dead. That was
yeah,
dumb.
I'm not defending everything.
but and what was it? My only problem with First Class was like again, and that was a personal thing. I'm a huge fan of Darwin, and I thought that was a tragic misuse. Of a very powerful character.
Dirty.
They did him dirty.
Yeah, it's pretty
there's
bad.
There's no way that Shaw should have been able to take him out. To quote Shades, there's rules to this shit. They messed that up.
I don't know, man. And I think that's part of it too, is that I don't have as much of an attachment
thing,
to the comics.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the interesting thing is I agree. I would love to see more movies like Logan. The hard part is I don't know that there's another character they could do that with. Has the same level of popularity currently on the movie front. Because if you have Hugh Jackman as your Wolverine, to like incredibly popular actor, incredibly popular comic character, that's kind of a gimme, you know, that you can base movies around that character. They've done it with Deadpool, but
they had to take it out.
Yeah.
Like, and Ryan had to
even that was a Hail Mary almost.
I don't know who would play her, but if Ryan Coogler did a Storm movie, I'd go.
That's the thing. It's like, that's what I want. I want, like, this is the thing. I'm in trouble on Twitter right now because I said that that Storm has never been in an X-Men movie. And I guess I'm going to get dragged because that, you know, I was not nice to Halle Berry. And I wasn't meaning to be unkind to Halle Berry, for the record.
I'm sorry. I can be, her performance was abysmal. That first one where they made her
I'm not even trying to lay that at her feet. Like, you know what? Here's what I'll say. And this is a problem for a number of characters, but, you know, because I like Storm, it really always stuck out to me is like, what's her character arc? Who is she?
Right.
Like, they never, you know what I mean? Like, they never talk, you know, like, there's never, like, an arc for her. There's never a story for her. There's, like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't even touch it until, like, they show her being, like, you know, in Age of Apocalypse. Like, they show, like, a second of her being a thief on the streets. And then immediately, instead of her having her own power, the power is given to her by Apocalypse. And
right, that's the beginning of the problem and doesn't
even touch on, you know, all the stuff that the actress whose name I will not even say, then foolishly did on Twitter later.
I'll say her name.
So, you know, like, that's it. Like, to me, like, you know, I would love, and I guess, like, you know, like, here's the plus side. I would love a Storm movie. I would love something that's sort of like loosely based on like life, death or something. But like, honestly, the one thing I'll say, and I thought about it, I was like, yep, so they're putting out this movie in February. It made me think of Black Panther, and I was like, well, I'll say this. Storm's going to get a much better shake under the Disney banner. That I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And I mean, my only comment about Storm is, Alexandra Shipp's real life comments aside, and yes, she is problematic in several areas, but she really wasn't given a script to really sink her teeth into. So I can't really speak to the fact whether or not she is that bad of an actress, because I don't think she's been given, like, really good scripts. I mean, I think before Storm, she played, like, Aaliyah or something. Like she hasn't sunk her teeth in anything. But, yes, I completely agree with what you're saying. But I think we'll find – I actually think we're going to have more answers to these questions next week at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I agree that we'll probably start hearing some stuff. I don't know what to say about this movie other than I'll see it, and I'm sure there'll be a couple things that I'll like. But yeah, ultimately, I am ready for Storm to be recast, and also just for them to, you know, start over in general, but especially that first thing.
Give her an origin story.
Yeah, that would be great. I would really love that. That would make me so happy. Yeah. No shade to Halle Berry. I'm not trying to do that to her. I'm just trying to let her live. She's had enough shade in her life. I'm just trying to let her live her life. But yeah, I mean, so that's that. Hey, we've been talking for a while. You want to talk about New York Comic Con real quick? You want to just kind of like bat that thing around?
Yeah, that's happening.
Yes,
next,
it is.
Next week.
And we're going to be all over the place.
We got all kinds of stuff going on, man. We got the live stage that's going to be happening, and we're going to have all... Actually, I'm being a little casual about it, but it's actually really cool. We have... we've done this a couple times now. We did one at Emerald City Comic Con. We did one at C2E2 in Chicago.
And we're being casual about it because we're exhausted.
Yes, but we have actually a great lineup of interviews coming on that stage that we're going to be live streaming online. You guys will be able to watch it from home or from the street or wherever you watch live streaming.
Who are you excited to talk to or meet or see?
I mean, I'm doing a very limited number of interviews myself, but I'm excited that we're going to have the Doctor Who cast on our stage.
Yes,
which
we
is
will.
Right when the show is premiering, the day actually that it premieres, the season premieres. So that's going to be really, really cool. I'm curious about the Hellboy movie cast. Yep.
I am too.
I'm a big Hellboy fan in the comics. I know very little about that film other than that, you know, what's his face is starring in it from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the production photo or the costume photo they put out of him. But so I'm excited to learn more about what from the comics they're going to be bringing to the screen this time around. The Good Omens is going to be there, which is really, I love that book. And, you know, David Tennant, Michael Sheen, you can't beat that with a stick. pairings, so I'm really looking forward to hearing from them as well. But it's going to, I mean, it's all weekend. We got Daredevil on stage. We got both Rodriguez's.
Yes.
Robert and Michelle.
Michelle, there's a 3D movie that he is creating, a VR movie that he's creating and she's starring in. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm excited about, they gave me the anime track, which I am not complaining, but I'm going to be speaking to Christopher Sabat, who, for My Hero Academia fans, he is All Might, the English voice of All Might, and he is also the English voice of Vegeta in Dragon Ball. So there's a big Dragon Ball thing happening too because the movie's coming out. I'm also going to be talking to the original creators of Cowboy Bebop. No, I have not suddenly learned Japanese.
I'm kind of jealous of that, actually.
I don't speak Japanese. I will have a translator, but I'm literally going to be talking to them, and I'm so excited because that was, I would say that Ghost in the Shell was my gateway anime drug, but Cowboy Bebop was like right behind it. I think I'm also talking to the Ruby team.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got a lot of anime and a lot of running around. Oh, and I'm sorry. How could I forget? I'm going to talk to Common because Common's got a comic book. So, yep.
The common book.
Yes.
Common.
So, yes, I'm going to be on stage with Common. And there's going to be a live, all of this is going to be live. Well, our live stage anyway will be live streamed. But, Danny, what are you looking forward to?
It's dumb, but like, all right. So, like, there's stuff on the stage, but like, and some big stuff too, which we'll talk about in a second. But I like going on the floor. And I never know if it's going to happen or not. And I don't know the subject matter yet, but like, NBC Universal Comcast loves a 360 video. And that's a video where like, you know, you like, you can just like turn the whole camera around while you're watching it to see just like the whole place. And if you got a VR headset, you can like kind of feel like you're there. And, I don't like the 360 thing. I don't feel one way or the other about, but you know, going out and talking to people and playing games and like, kind of goofing around, like I'm always into that, so I'm going to be doing that.
Tackling people.
Got my pitch ready. Although I don't know if they're going to take it. This is like some real weird inside baseball. So there's a place where we film some of our scripted content that has within the same building a place that makes like. Do you ever order pizza from Seamless? And like the guy on the in his delivery bike or whatever will have like that square insulated thing on his back that the pizzas are in. To keep them warm. So they make them there. And I said, get one. We'll put some pizzas in it. And I'll be like the pizza delivery person. And I'll go around. And I'll like give pizza to cosplayers. And then we'll, you know, talk about the costume and like talk about stuff of the day. We'll treat the con like a modern day salon. Have debates.
So you want to be on the floor talking to people who are attending it. Like that's the highlight for you.
Yeah, I love that. To me, that's like, you know, I mean, like there's other, I mean, like, you know, I mean, I'm going to talk to the cast of Gotham, a show that I threw some shade at earlier in the episode, but I will say that is a show that I really love now. And I really love those actors. You know, I've interviewed many of them and I'm really excited to talk to them about the last season and I don't know, just like squeeze any details I can out of them and just have a good time. Like, you know, I'm sad that the show's ending, but I'm excited to get to, you know, talk with them about it before it does. That I'm really jazzed about. And I don't think it's been finalized, Adam. You can tell me if you know otherwise. But I believe I am interviewing some people from the new cast of Doctor Who. That's pretty exciting.
I believe that is true.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know who it is
on
yet.
Sunday.
But, hopefully a couple would be nice to talk to Jodie Whittaker. That would be pretty sweet. I'm just going to assume that's happening and then be disappointed if it doesn't. But yeah, like that's like the stuff on the stage that I'm at this moment, like pretty stoked about those. Those are two shows that I really like. One that I've been watching since I was like 4 years old. So, you know, like pretty stoked for that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like going on the floor. I like talk, like, you know what I mean? Like I didn't get into this for talking to celebrities, to be honest. Like, you know what I mean? That was never me. Like, when it happens, if I meet people that, like, I'm a fan of their work and they wind up being cool, great. Like, that's the best. But, you know, like, it was never an intended goal. And it still isn't. Like, I don't, like, wake up and go, like, what famous person am I going to sidle up to today? Like, I don't care about that stuff. But talking to people, talking about the things that they like, talking about costumes that they made, like talking about like whatever fan thing that they put together, like asking them their opinions. I'm into that. That's what I love. So I'm really looking forward to doing that at the con.
So basically, you guys got to follow us and no, not physically follow us. We mean follow us at sci-fi.com. Yeah, because if you come up on that stage, you're going to get kicked off. But the, but please, if you're coming to New York Comic Con, you've got to come to the stage and at least check out some of the stuff we're going to be doing. And yeah, I mean, I'm totally joking, but we would love to meet some of you.
Yeah, all of us are going to be there, so come say hi.
Everybody, yeah, everybody's going to be there, and, you know, all the New York crew, plus, you know, we got Andre Meadows, got Whitney Moore, who else is going to be on that stage?
Katie Wilson.
Katie Wilson.
Oh, yeah, Katie Wilson.
Jackie Jennings.
Love that Katie Wilson, real life Lara Croft, Katie Wilson.
And Cher Martinetti from Fangirls.
Yeah, but she's part of the New York crew. But yeah, all right.
Oh yeah, New York crew. Right.
And whole New York crew is going to be there. Back. That's just right out. Yeah, Courtney Ann Lowe will be there also from Sci-Fi Fangirls, but also from you know, a bunch of other stuff, including the Trends Like These podcast. She's doing
and your mom.
She's doing a show. And my mom.
Yeah. No, just your mom.
My mom is going to be out. Courtney Ann Lowe is definitely not my mom. That would be so.
No, but I'm saying your mom will be there.
What a crazy thing you said. No, so yeah, like, and that's the thing. They're her and a couple other people were doing a show with Travis McElroy, he of McElroy yep. Brothers fame. So would highly recommend. I think that's on like Friday or Saturday. Look that up. That sounds really dope. That's a thing I'll be going to for sure. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be up there. A lot of our friends. A lot of pals doing cool stuff.
So we will see you next week, guys.
Yeah, man. And we'll also be doing an episode of Who Won the Week. Probably not from the con, but from immediately after the con.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll happen.
Yeah. So look out for that.
Anyway. All right. So that's our show. Thank you for listening. If you are not subscribed to Who Won the Week, hey, subscribe to Who Won the Week. If you've never left a review, hey, leave a review. You know, we listen to
it. And if you're Bob Balaban, hit me up.
Yeah. If you're Bob Balaban, Adam is like, I guess, in love with you.
This show has been brought to you by Bob Balaban.
Got it. So, yeah, so, you know, do that, Bob Balaban. And also, hey, Bob Balaban, also subscribe to all the other Sci-Fi Wire podcasts, Strong Female Characters, The Fandom Files, Winona Earp official podcast, and all the others. Check out our stuff on Amazon. I do one there. It's not too bad. Angelique Rocher does one there, too. It's called Geeksplained. Definitely check that one out. Yeah, that's it. Before we wrap it up, where can all these tens of millions of listeners find you on the internet, friends?
You can find me, Karma, the Blurred Girl, TheBlurdGurl, all over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, mostly on Twitter. I hope to see you guys next week.
You can find me, Adam Swiderski, on Instagram at RockTheFaces. I am no longer on Twitter, so look for me there.
You
no more.
Did it. You made the... Oh, my God.
Well, I haven't deleted my account, but I also have not been on Twitter in over 2 weeks.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, don't... if you have messaged me there and I haven't responded, that's why. I'm sorry. Find me on the Instas instead.
All right. And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter still and Instagram. At Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N. Ordinary, also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.